It's that time again, all you radio fans. It's time for another edition of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. January 7th, 2001. Hold on to your stomachs and hang in there. Stay with us.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Welcome to another edition of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, here in beautiful Santa Cruz. Sounds like a dream or a fantasy, and indeed it is, but we are trying to make that dream come true here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. And of course, it can only come true if all of us get together and make it true. The way to make it true, of course, is to stand up for yourself, your sisters, and your brothers on the streets, and do what you need to do to make sure that life here is livable for all of us, which is no easy matter. What do we got today? Well, 2 hours from 6 to 8 every Thursday, and on Sunday, 2.5. We spend our time kind of looking back over what's been happening out on Pacific Avenue, down at the farmer's market, over at the jail, in the rapidly diminishing, accessible, affordable, or even rental housing that's minimally accessible. And we cover kind of issues sporadically, jumping from thing to thing, from the sleeping ban to the sitting ban, to protests in other cities for civil rights, to concerns about police misconduct. At the moment, Jim Costner is in jail. He may be out of jail shortly. That's the activist who smashed the Columbus statue, and he's also been active in the sleeping ban protests in past years and organizing students around various causes, including freedom for political prisoners. He's been holding forums every Tuesday night at the Veterans Hall, one last week, and there's one coming up next week on issues to educate and arouse the community to meaningful political action, to meaningfully change current laws that make it impossible for people to live happy, free, productive lives. He was jailed, as I understand it, based on the phone call I got, for an alleged bomb threat. And now Jim has been called many things, impulsive, and he indeed picked up a sledgehammer, apparently, by his own words, and smashed that Columbus statue, which was in the lobby of the San Jose City Hall. But I've never heard of him engaging in any kind of bomb threats, even use the word bomb. I think he is very circumspect about such things, and I suspect this is either a computer foul-up or a deliberate piece of mischief by certain individuals in the police department or perhaps the prosecutor's office who are trying to make trouble for Jim. I don't know. I have no evidence. It just sounds very peculiar that a warrant suddenly appears in Santa Cruz after Jim has been released from San Jose, where all warrants would be carefully looked at. And San Jose is not too far away from Santa Cruz. It's one county away. And Jim went to jail in Santa Cruz actually about a year ago. He surrendered himself in the case of the police mini-riot that happened on, it happened in 1999 at the Yugoslavia bombing demonstration on Front Street at the McPherson Center, where one officer, Lefevre, who mistreated a woman and her child, was later apparently let go by the police department, though we can't quite get the straight story on that one. Maybe the Commissioner for the Prevention of Violence Against Women can get the time cards of the officers involved, and we can find out what's been happening with that. Just a little in-joke, folks, which I'll explain later in the show. Anyway, Jim is in jail, hopes to get out by 7:30. I think he's having again to bail himself out if... It's a $500 bail on a misdemeanor charge of some sort of bomb threat, which, as I said, does not sound likely to me. Again, I'm not inside everybody's head all the time, thank God, and or perhaps if you worked harder at it, I could be in your head all the time, but would you want me there? I doubt it. In any case, I don't know what the real facts of the situation are, but I know it sounds unlikely, given the way warrants go out and given the fact that Jim has been a high-profile person and has been around Santa Cruz, for this warrant to suddenly appear for an incident a year old seems very, very peculiar. Well, perhaps he'll call in when he's released, which should be when the jail shift returns. The bail bondsman has assured me at 7:30 this evening he will get out probably around 8, probably a bit too late for this show, which ends at 8 o'clock. Perhaps on Sunday we can get some update as to what actually went on. Show returns at 11 on Sunday in the morning, runs to 1:30, and you can catch us off-air, as many of you already know, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is, among other things, not just something you do when you huff and puff, but it's also the name of an organization, HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And that's a group which tries to raise the consciousness and the temperature of things around the city council's attempt to freeze everybody out and maintain control by a small elite group. Unfortunately, a group of know-nothings, it seems. This week has been budget week at City Hall. I haven't caught much of it, nor has a perennial council watcher scope it out, Scott Graham. Scott confided to me that he is really tired of this city council, that he finds that they, if they want advice, they pass the budget on beforehand to people who they trust. I was going to call him Fanny Licker Fred Geiger, but that doesn't sound fair because I understand Fred actually did invite Scott Graham to one of his constituent meetings that they hold with Sugar and Crone and behind closed doors that the rest of us don't get to go to, hear about, or even, you know, get on the agenda of. But Scott Graham has been sort of in exile for more than a year, but he was invited to this meeting. Phil Baer wasn't, I understand. So I guess we don't want to call Fred Fanny Licker Fred because he in his own way, tries to expand things. But I'll tell you, it is damn tempting. I'm thinking of... I talk about real people on this show and real personalities and my real feelings toward them because these real people have real effects on the political scene. And Fred Geiger is a man of great intelligence. He's very articulate. He has connections with politicians, and on numerous issues at different times, I've commended him on his attempt to make some headway, be it the sleeping ban or some justice for the Dolphin Lee tenants. But unfortunately, at key moments, Fred turns off and becomes sort of a silent backer of the city council or a silent critic. Whatever you will, he's silent, and that's the sad thing. And why am I going on about Fred? I guess because I'm thinking of Scott and the city council and the budget hearings, and Fred would be one of those people who probably would be past the budget early on, and he would look it over, he would send it back to the city council members and with his changes, and maybe they'd pay some attention to him, maybe they wouldn't. But for those who are outspoken, like Scott Graham, like myself, like others who would want to stand up and talk about real concerns at city council, like $7 million cost overruns by the police department, like a city manager for life named Dick Wilson, who never seems to get any kind of critical examination, like a I have to say, corrupt city attorney, much as I like him personally, John Barisone, in the sense that he goes along with and gives, I would say, bad advice to city council in an increasingly repressive time. Most recently, they spent thousands of dollars on this injunction for Anna Brooks, supposedly to help her, save her from harassment by myself, Bernard Klitzner, and Becky Johnson, in a case that was finally turned back by the same judge that originally granted the temporary restraining order barring us from a 50-yard radius of City Hall in the first place, Judge Sam Stevens. So, it's one of those Thursdays again. As I said, budget hearings happen Monday and Tuesday. I came into one of the kind of the tail end of the budget hearings, and there were only two or three people in the audience, including Assistant City Manager Martine Bernal, who's a nice enough guy, and we actually exchange friendly greetings on the streets, and he's never invited me to his house, but it's okay. He's the superior to Anna Brooks and Suzanne Haberman, the two secretaries. Brooks was the one whose injunction resulted in a suspension of all lobbying activity against the sleeping ban by myself, Becky Johnson, and Bernard Klitzner for 5 months, during which time the city council did absolutely nothing about the sleeping ban whatsoever, and made absolutely no expansion of shelter for the 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people that are outside tonight in Santa Cruz. If you want to let them know how you feel about it, there is a number you can call. It's pretty easy to remember, 420-50-17. Again, 420-50-17, and that's the 24-hour city council cold line. I say cold because it's pretty frosty over there at City Council. But, hey, heat it up a bit, call them up, and tell them to get off their tired Jurassic butts and do something real about basic human rights in Santa Cruz. End the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance. Start dealing with basic questions like rent control, community control of police, standing up to the Seaside Company and other large local magnates, whether it be Rittenhouse or George Au or Barry Swenson, you name it. It's time that we had some strong voices to speak in favor of the rest of us who haven't got the big checkbooks and who haven't got the secret connections and the private passes and the constituency meeting invitations that some people have. So give them a call, 420-5017, 420-420-5017. There you go. And if you want to join us on the air, if you think perhaps I'm being a little too hard on Fred Geiger or too hard on Tim Fitzmaurice, Emperor Tim, or too hard on Powderpuss Ed Porter, who doesn't seem to be doing too much at all in terms of his promises to end the sleeping ban. This another one of those Green Party-endorsed candidates of the Green Party is apparently doing absolutely nothing to hold to any kind of standard of accountability or responsibility, even so much as passing a resolution asking that the sleeping ban end, that the Green Party-endorsed candidates do something about it. Looks like we have an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert Bernard.
This is Bernard Klitzner, the famous coffee clutch man. Hey there, Bernard. Have you been caught slinking around City Hall lately?
No.
I guess it's legal for you now, you know. You can go slink there.
Right. You know, there'll be a time when it'll be proper to utilize it again.
All right. How do you feel after having weathered 5 months of a temporary restraining order, which has barred you from there?
It feels good to refreshing, you know, that there is a teeny bit of justice that comes through the system. But it's not enough.
Yeah, you got to pay for it too. I think you paid through the nose every step of the way for this legal document and that appeal and this response and so forth. You got to pay $87 each of us, and then we had to pay for the appeal, and then $150 to Fitzmaurice as a witness fee. So if you're poor, I guess in some cases you can get these fees waived, but
otherwise,
it's pretty difficult going, and it's, Bernard, you were actually one of the people who kind of kept this whole thing going. You arranged the coffee clutch in terms of who sat down in the offices to talk to the mayor and who kind of arranged the schedules, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you would be accused of causing extreme emotional distress to Anna Brooks or anybody else there?
Not me personally, no. Because I know, that I didn't put that kind of energy into doing that. It's just,
Are you prepared to stand up and denounce me as the as a man who did in fact cause poor Anna Brooks to grind her teeth?
I wouldn't do that, but I think that sometimes your mannerisms can, you know, make people, different people nervous, you know, but that's still not the basis for a restraining suit, you know, her uncomfortability.
Right.
You know, she, I don't think she exercised proper judgment in the whole thing, but then when I look at all the notes, you know, that she got, you know, after the, you know, I've looked at her log, you know, after the restraining order was in effect, you know, she was stroked by a lot of people in this city, you know, that really don't want the sleeping ban to be overthrown.
Or who apparently don't have much use for us personally, particularly for me and Becky.
Right. And so, I mean, they were out there stroking her, but none of those people, at least to me, I can't talk about you and Becky, but they never came to hear my side of the story. You know, if they would have, you know, it would have been more... you know, it would have been more, they would have had more credibility.
Well, I know that the whole issue of creative means of ending the sleeping ban, which I think probably the most direct means is to set up a tent city at City Hall, the way Seattle set up the Share campsite and Portland has set up Camp Dignity. And, you know, people have just established a clean, livable campsite and essentially said to the community, we haven't got any alternatives, we're going to do this. And allow, the, you know, then the police will do what they do. And when we threatened to do that last time, last May, lo and behold, and of course this happened after a lot of other things, like fasts and Pie and the Pusser demonstrations and another lobbying effort called Waiting for Sugar, which was essentially the same and had much of the same people lobbying in the city council offices. They put this safe sleeping zones on the agenda within that tent city threatened them. Of course, again, it's a question of the will and the organization and people wanting to take such a step.
Well, I think it can be done, you know. You know, I think we just have to come forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that might happen.
Yeah.
It might happen. Although I'm not really prepared to talk about that, you know, in a very articulate way.
Why did you call?
I called you because, you know, you had asked me on the last program to call a person, you know, in the Green Party about
Yes.
the Working Homeless Committee.
Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, as I call him, he's the head of the Green Party Homeless Working Group. Of course, we don't really know that there is such a group anymore because they haven't held meetings in some time. And the last real meeting they held, well, they held one after that, but they spent their 90 minutes denouncing me, and there was no homeless items on the agenda. And then they suspended meetings for 2 months, and then they held another meeting, which was largely procedural. And so far, they have done very little. I guess they've secretly met with Tim Fitzmaurice for an hour and 45 minutes, but I haven't heard of any report on that that was very clear, although I understand one did come out at the last Green Party assembly. You talked to Nick Whitehead.
Yes, I did.
This is a man who suggested that the injunction should not be opposed by the Green Party, by the way. He and Lydia Blanchard issued a report that they felt that it was apparently not something they felt the Green Party should soil its hands with or get involved with. I'm not quoting him exactly, by the way, and if Nick is listening or if any Green Party members are listening, I encourage you to call in and talk about this issue.
Yeah, but if they do, be real open to letting them put out their story.
Definitely.
Anyway, I wanted to just talk to you about what he did say. I asked him to call in. He said that he couldn't call in because he had no authority from the Green Party, you know, to talk about that particular committee's working and their decision making and where they were at. He told me on that basis that he just could not call in.
Sounds like a dodge to me there. I mean, an individual who's a member of the Green Party doesn't have to speak for the committee or speak for the party. He can call in and give his opinion of what's going on. He can say, well, we talked about a number of subjects at the last meeting. I mean, I'm going to give a report on what happened to this meeting today on rent control with Michael Schmidt and Donna Dice and Bob LaMonica, and I'm not speaking for any of them. I'm just speaking for myself and giving my analysis. No, I think Nick is afraid to talk about this issue for the same reason he was afraid to talk about it 5 months ago when we actually had him on the air. He has nothing to say except that the Green Party is falling down very badly. on this issue, and that's the problem. The problem is the Green Party has a mayor in office who's a declared Green who is violating the Green Party platform on the sleeping ban. And the Green Party is more concerned about keeping its Green Party mayor up there as a nice frontispiece to the party than it is in protecting the rights of the people that it supposedly is supposed to be protecting under its platform's provisions. And that is as clear to me as the full moon that was out last night or the night before.
You know, in fact, Robert, that's its only business. To implement platform.
I would have to agree. But they think their business, just like SCAN thinks its business, is electing these hacks to office. And that is what we get, hack after hack, with Green Party labels and SCAN labels and Democratic Party labels. It is very, very sad and also very frustrating and makes one also rather angry. And so it puts me in a tizzy, I'll tell you.
Well, That's true. Then the other question, well, he did volunteer one piece of information.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, that as far as the sleeping ban goes, that committee has put equal weight on the sleeping ban just as other, you know, other type of remedies for the long term. In other words, what I got from him, that committee is not under the belief, you know, that we've got to knock the sleeping ban first or otherwise nothing else is going to get done. He doesn't seem to subscribe to that thing, you know, or the committee. I'm not real...
Naturally, he has private long phone conversations with Tim Fitzmaurice. He wants to play ball with the boys in power. He wants to play politics, and I'm afraid that people who want to play politics more than they want to do principled behavior. And I say this openly to Nick, and I've said it to him and to his face. You know, you end up in a bad situation. So you start attacking the people who are pushing the principles. So what Nick did has been devoting a lot of his energy to in the last few months is putting down a set of six or seven principles that I'm and Becky Johnson are supposed to follow as Green Party members, which have to do with not reporting what goes on in the Green Party, not tape recording what goes on in the Green Party, not criticizing what goes on in the Green... I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a complete... I mean, is this the Green Party or the National Socialist Green Party? I'm not quite sure what the hell is going on here, but it's clear that everybody is directing their energies toward the wrong targets. I mean, they should be talking about the politicians who are violating the principles of the Green Party.
And I don't think you're a problem to the community personally. I don't think you're oppressing people.
Well, I do my best to oppress, but I lack the mayorship. Now, if you made me mayor, then endorse me as a Green Party member, you could attack me all you want, and I'd appreciate it. I probably should be attacked, just like Tim Fitzmaurice should be attacked, should be criticized, should be held to account, and is not. By the way, hold Tim Fitzmaurice to account. Call 420-5017. That's the City Council hotline. Sort of like trying to ask the judge to judge himself. But you can also call Nick Whitehead if you want to get more information. And that's 475-2012. He's the Green Party Homeless Working Group. You might ask him, is it the Homeless Working Group or is it the Homeless Shirking Group? Let's find out what's going on there, Big Nick. You know, let's get rolling. I suppose now I'm going to be criticized as being hostile to poor Nick Whitehead, and I'm not hostile to him. I'm hostile to lack of action on the sleeping ban and to hypocrisy in the Green Party. Yes, definitely hostile to that. But not to Nick. He's a good man. He makes me very tired, and I've been very critical of him for the last 15 minutes, but I also know I've enjoyed his plays, I've enjoyed his activism around police misconduct. He's tried hard in that regard, and I just... like
he just
to see him
doesn't
try
feel
again.
The suffering of homeless people for some reason.
Well, I don't either, for that matter. I mean, I'm indoors. Why should I feel the suffering? Although I will be out of doors in a couple of weeks. If anybody's got a room to rent, I'd like to put this out over the air right now. Give me a call at 423-HUFF. I'm up for doing some renting. I'm going to need a new place to stay, or else you may find me in my vehicle violating the law. Can you imagine?
Anyway... that's all I had to say.
Hey, thank you very much, Bernard, and I understand you may have a letter coming out in the, the Metro if they print it, huh?
If they print it.
What did you think of the article? I guess you haven't seen the article yet that the Metro has done?
Pardon?
Have you seen the Metro story?
I'm going to get that later when I go out. Later.
Fair enough. Well, listen, thank you for calling in.
All right.
And call in again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Lines are open. This is Bathrobes Pierre, Robert Norris talking to you, talking at you, talking over you, talking under you. Hey, talk back to me. 427-3772 is the call-in line. Give me a call.
It's June 6th. I'm a month ahead of myself. We're at front of Alibaba's Cafe on a sunny Wednesday, about 5:30. We have Officer Richardson and Alibaba, and a beautiful selection of men, women, and younger adults. A few folks with their possessions on their bikes. And Sugar, what's happening? Give us the story.
Not much. Just farmer's market going on down the street.
And what are you up to? You're looking, you know, not as hippie-esque as you used to. Does this mean you're adopting a lifestyle change?
No, I'm doing laundry.
You're just doing... I see there is a tattoo sort of slinking out of your right shoulder there. That is, of course, how would we describe that?
Indian feathers.
Indian feathers.
Yep.
And you've been in town now for how long?
Off and on for 3 years.
And are you actually renting a place indoors or are you outdoors?
No, outdoors.
And have you been ticketed for sleeping outdoors?
Actually, I went home yesterday and they had opened my tent and gave me a warning flyer in my tent.
Were these deputies, Parks and Rec, or...
I'm not even sure.
Where more or less, not to give away your location, but where were you?
What down by the Mission.
In the city limits?
Yeah.
So you actually have a tent set up in city limits?
Yep.
And is this unique or are there others who have the same situation?
There's about 10 other tents.
In the same place?
Uh-huh.
And I know I've heard that on the riverbank, Mayor Fitzmaurice himself actually visited
that's
the camp.
Ours.
So now they're coming down on you, even though Mayor Fitzmaurice liked your camp?
The newspaper actually came down today to take pictures and see what's going on.
How long have you been at this campsite?
For about 2 months. The guy that's been there has been there since 84.
Now, what I've heard that periodically up until about 2 or 3 months ago, they were just sweeping regularly along the river, but they just decided to allow you guys to be there. You have some special pull? Is there some sort of, is the mayor hooked on heroin? Are you guys a secret connection?
No.
Are you a drug-free camp?
Yes.
Are you a sex-free camp?
No.
Do I get a hug?
Yes.
All right!
Amen.
That was skillfully done. And, of course, the sexist here in me is, the sexualist. I'm not sure which.
We'll have no public display of public affection.
Well,
I've got to be a health and welfare organization.
We need more health and welfare. So, are you the only one who got this? What was the nature of this ticket you got, or this warning?
I don't know. They've been letting us live down there, and I guess one cop and two undercover cops went down there the other day. I wasn't there, though, and took some people's pictures and got people's names and said we had 3 days to leave.
The entire camp?
Yep.
They naturally told you where to go to a safe and legal sleeping space?
Nope.
That's why they took all these pictures.
They?
Yep.
Perhaps they offered you a special shelter area?
Nope, nothing.
They gave you a ticket to Fresno?
Yep. Nope. No. That'd be nice, though. But no.
So in essence, they told you to leave, but didn't tell you where to go.
Nope.
In essence, they told you where to go, but not where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
How many men, women, and children are down there?
There's one kid, and there's probably 20 men and women.
Now, were you around when Mayor Fitzmaurice actually came to the camp? Or did you describe that situation for him?
He was really nice. We've had actually police officers come down there before, too, and we've never had problems until the past 2 days.
Have you had problems, or are they the ones that have problems?
They're the ones that are having problems.
So has there been a violence or a drug problem?
No.
Have you been
swimming
too much unlawfully in the river?
No. I don't know what happened.
Part of what the issue here is, you haven't been charged with camping, you've been charged with squatting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe they've been charged with squatting. They're actually making improvements in the area. They're putting in flower beds and gardens. The camp is clean, well-run, and orderly. This is a problem because...
Have you visited this camp yourself?
I've seen the camp, yeah. And it's one of the neatest, cleanest camps I've ever seen in my entire life, and I built a few too, right? But no, it's too well ordered. That worries the powers that be because it's not a bunch of winos or junkies just throwing their sleeping bags together. But there's enough of social organization within this camp where the people could literally, if there was squatting laws in the state of California, squat that land, say, we've been here for blah, blah, blah amount of time. We're staying here. And just like with, what's his name in that little vacant lot up here on the mall, once you start talking about squatting or eminent domain, they start shuffling stuff around, because even though the laws apparently read to that there are no squatters' rights, they don't know how a court might rule if someone actually said, well, I've been here for 25 years.
Now, thank you. And an interesting analysis that is. Would you like to identify yourself for our free radio audience?
Yeah, my name is Lee, and my job description is agitator, occasional baker for a living.
There you have it. That's the kind of person we have here in Santa Cruz at the notorious Hippie Planter near Alibaba's fine cafe. Well patronized by the police force, who seem to be drinking drinks, dare I say, free of charge. How can I say that? Would you say so?
Yes.
Now, why would you say that, Sugar?
Because that's where they always hang out.
but they aren't. Might they not just be good customers of Alibaba?
Could be.
Certainly, they get a lot of business from him in terms of the complaints he gives to the police department in the city.
Yes.
Now, I heard something from Sushi Now the other day that concerned me. Perhaps the two of you might want to comment. I heard that the city is putting pressure on Batiste, who is the owner of Sushi Now, to not allow people who are not customers to sit at the tables, not because he doesn't want them to, but because the city claims that it will revoke or give him trouble with his license unless he becomes a sort of a para-police force. Your comments?
Yeah, that's probably what's going on. I heard something about that, too. I'm not sure.
Quick note, Sushi Now is a green circular kiosk right in front of New Leaf Market on Pacific Avenue. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away, and from Alibaba's Cafe, another green kiosk in front of the Bank of America Instateller, and right near the hideous Hosts Center, the purple-garbed folks who wander around fingering people for the police. They like to call themselves the Hospitality Squad.
All what's going on with it, but yeah, I know they had to have little flyers put on the table saying no customers on them, and they didn't used to have that.
Now,
but
getting back to the camp, does your camp have a name? You call it something? Is there a? I know up in Marin they call the campground that they set up around the Board of Supervisors building Whispering Pines.
Yeah. Ours is a bike shop, kind of.
The bike shop?
There's a bike shop out there. And we've had fenced-in trails, and we dug a fish pond a couple weeks ago, and so there's goldfish. It's really nice. It's
what do you
really
do for sanitation?
There's actually a place right up the street, Denny's, that lets us use the bathroom.
And
the people from Chevron also let us use the bathroom up there.
How many are you again?
About 20.
And what do you do for newcomers who arrive who want to pitch tent? Are there requirements for getting into this?
No. No problem. If there's not a spot for them, they just have to get a shovel and make a little area for the tent. And
what if they're marijuana smokers?
It's a free world. It's their business.
What if they're heroin users?
No.
How do you enforce that? What do you do?
I guess there's one guy the head guy that's been there since 84, and I guess there used to be a lot of people that did a lot of drugs down there, and it couldn't get clean. The camp kept getting messed up. And
basically, 6 or 8 months ago,
yeah,
there were a bunch of heroin users and alcoholic types down there. It doesn't look like that anymore. It looks like most of them are gone now.
He's kicked them all out. Keep them all of them out.
How do you do that?
Actually, we got a new guy in about a week ago, and we had some troubles with him last night. He got really drunk and started fighting people, and so a couple of the guys told him he had to leave by the next morning.
Did he leave?
Yep.
And so, what about alcohol? Is that a larger problem as well?
He doesn't bother him at all. Like any of us, if you want to have a beer, but if you get too, because there's kids there, you know, and there's a lady that's pregnant there, and if you get too drunk and start getting belligerent and loud, then you get asked to leave.
Now, when the mayor came down, how much time did he spend there?
I wasn't there the whole time. He got there, and I was there for maybe like 5 minutes, and I left. So I wasn't sure how long he was there for.
Who was he there with?
In your civilian clothes.
I'm not sure who he was with. I think he was with two other guys. I'm not sure who they were, though. I didn't meet them.
Did he offer to give you a hug?
Yeah.
Would you like another hug?
Yeah.
is there anything else you want to say about this campsite in terms of other places you've lived in the last 2 or 3 years, how it compares, and what you're going to do if it gets closed down?
It's really beautiful. It's really nice. There's a lot of order there, which is nice. I have a 6-year-old daughter who doesn't live with me right now, but she comes down there every once in a while and stays with me, and it's nice enough for her to stay down there. Usually she doesn't, and when I camp anywhere else. And if they make us move, I have no idea where I'm going to go. They usually kick us out wherever we are. So hopefully they'll let us stay there. Hopefully when the newspaper came down there today and talked to some people, they'll have a change of heart, let us stay there. It's really nice.
Newspaper in Metro, Sentinel?
You know, I'm not sure where he was from.
I told you, I believe it was Sentinel.
Yeah. So he came down, took some pictures. We have running water now. That just happened yesterday. And
running water, that's the name of one of your Indian workers there?
We actually have running water.
I see.
Yeah?
I see. It's running hot and cold water?
No, just cold right
running
now.
Running cold water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So that sounds like you have some of the conveniences of home, so to speak, for all you homeless people, so to speak.
Yep, it's nice. So hopefully they let us stay there.
Now, you yourself are a woman of African-American descent, is that accurate to say?
Half of me, yeah.
Now, have you been, should we say, reminded of that fact by local police officers at any time here?
Not really. I haven't really been bothered too much. I kind of just try to avoid the whole situation.
Now, you're also a known woman. That is, so you are not a man, you are a person of the female gender, it would seem.
Yep.
Have you experienced any difficulties because of that situation? Such as old weird guys hitting on you, things of that sort.
Sure, all the time.
And what sort of does a woman in Santa Cruz face more difficulties than say in other cities, or what's your analysis of the situation?
I actually think it's pretty mellow here. Where I came from, it was pretty bad. The whole racial and being a woman thing is a lot harder where I was from.
Which is?
Stockton, California. So it's a lot better out here. I like it a lot more. I don't get bothered because of my dreadies, and back in Stockton I would. So I actually like it. It's pretty mellow. I wish the cops would be as mellow as everybody else seems to be, at least.
You're hoping that you'll be able to return to your campsite tonight and tomorrow night without finding it gone and signs posted.
Yeah.
But you did find signs posted saying move on?
Yep, they actually opened my tent and put a sign inside of it. And left it open.
How nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
In the Japanese sky, set off the mighty mushroom run.
And you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, Robert.
Hey there. Sounds like our old jailbird friend, Jailbird Jim.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't like that name, but it's starting to become accustomed to it.
Are you calling us from inside or outside?
Inside.
Oh, dear. The Santa Cruz County Jail has you again?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, what's happening? Have you been smashing more statues?
As far as I know, I haven't violated any laws.
I see. So, actually, I briefly announced what happened to you earlier in the show. We're talking to Just Man Jim Costner, as I call him, an activist for various causes in Santa Cruz, currently fighting prosecution in San Jose for remodeling the Columbus mass murderer statue over there. What did they get you for here? Were you criticizing Adolf Hitler? What was your problem?
Well, they're telling me different things, so it's hard to figure out. They're telling me, the first thing they told me on the street today when I was passing out flyers for a program on Tuesday night, at the event hall, they told me that a warrant for my arrest. I asked them, well, what was the basis of the warrant? The cops said they didn't know, but they had a warrant for my arrest, and they were to take me. So they took me. They brought me to jail. The first guard tells me that I made some phone call in relationship to a bomb a year ago, which I told them that's totally ludicrous. I don't have anything to do with bombs, and I don't talk about
this
bombs.
This is a stink bomb, an atomic bomb? What kind of a bomb?
Yeah, exactly. And I said, I have nothing to do with bombs, so I don't know what you're talking about. So then the next guard...
Maybe he meant you had something to do with a bum. I mean, I know you hang out with bums.
The next guard tells me it's a false police report that I filed in 99. I said, that can't be true either, because I've filed no police reports in the 10 years that I've been here. And then the next guard tells me, oh, it's a resisting arrest charge from 99. I say, well, the only altercation I had with the police in 99 in regards to resisting arrest was May 22nd. And I said, I've already spent 12 to 15 days in jail for that, and I've already been convicted, and that's all done.
That was the Yugoslavia protest where Officer Lefevre went after Juliana and her child and was... left the police force, was found guilty of excessive force by the Citizens Police Review Board's one and only independent investigation, and Steve Argue went to jail for 7 months around that case when he punched Officer Lefevre to protect the woman and child involved.
Yeah.
And you and, I guess, Steve and three others were cited or arrested because police were, in essence, improperly trying to deal with a crowd situation and began being abusive to people.
Yeah, that's right.
That was basically claimed that so that they had three different ideas as to why you were arrested. Don't they have what they call a computer printout that will tell them exactly what is the warrant for? It sounds like they're kind of engaging in some wishful thinking or something.
They brought the computer paperwork and it didn't say anything. It didn't say anything at all about anything, the basis of why I'm here.
Maybe they're just sort of, casting the I Ching in the back room trying to figure out what to charge you with next,
what
Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to be bailed out.
Sounds like Jim is on a jail phone. We're talking to Jim Costner in the Santa Cruz County Jail. So, Jim, are you on? Is this costing you money? Is it a collect call?
This
I guess
phone
not.
Call right here.
Yeah.
No, this is a free call.
This is a free call. So actually, the city or the county is actually sponsoring this communication. Thank you, Sheriff Tracy, or Supervisor Wormhout, or whoever we can thank for this. Have you had any interesting conversations? What's going on in the jail?
There's three of us in here. There's two Chicanos that are here for drinking.
Drinking?
Yeah.
And are they drunk and throwing up all over you? What's happening?
No, they're very hospitable. They're very cool. They're very positive. And we've been I've been learning Spanish.
Excellent. So what are you complaining about?
What am I complaining about?
This is a free Spanish lesson. Compliments of the state, man.
Yeah, a free dinner.
Yeah, right. You're going to get a free dinner, a bologna sandwich, no doubt?
Yeah, actually it was pasta and noodles.
Oh, pasta and noodles. They're upgrading the cuisine there.
I was wondering if I could make a couple announcements.
Sure.
I wanted to invite people to come out Tuesday night. There'll be an indigenous forum where Vic Yellowhawk White will be coming down from Davis, and also Russ Redner, a longtime AIM activist, AIM member, and he was actually with Leonard Peltier out in Wounded Knee when those incidents went down with Leonard, where they framed him and was the basis of his incarceration those last 25 years. Russ was out there with him. Russ has been an AIM member since that time period. We're gonna build an AIM chapter here in Santa Cruz and an AIM chapter in San Jose. People are coming from San Jose, and we want to put an invite out to the people to come out to the Vets Hall at 7:30 this Tuesday night for an indigenous forum as part of a weekly series of political education classes as well as community forum and discussion. So appreciate for letting me make that announcement.
Sure.
I also wanted to announce that this Sunday there's two meetings, the Free the Political Prisoners meeting at 5 o'clock in the park of Loudon Nelson Park, and also the UPLO meeting at 7, and we're presently working on bringing Pan Africa out for a tour that's going to be in July. So I wanted to invite people to come out to that, and I'm glad. I saw the article in the Metro about you back in Bernard, and the Metro seems to be, or some individuals in the Metro seem to be more and more conscious as the days go by, huh?
Well, you know, I think that was Andrea, what the heck was her name? I have her name here, let me see.